Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
This is Internet Marketing.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 139 of Internet Marketing, or even Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com.
Oh, everybody. I don't know why I did that in such a stupid voice.
He always does that. That was Kelvin, my co-host.
This is Kelvin Newman.
And today's show, it's all about speaking gigs, isn't it? Getting more speaking gigs.
Yeah, yeah. So I've had a busy couple of months, as I'm sure a lot of you will have heard if you follow me on Twitter or seen the kind of somewhat intermittent schedule of recordings that have been going out of the podcast. And that's because I've been doing a huge, huge, crazy amount of speaking over the last sort of 12 months or so. So I've been fortunate to talk at some of the best conferences in the UK, so like SMX Advanced and SASCon and Think Visibility and Brighton SEO, which I think is quite good as well. And, you know, all these.
Poor Kelvin's wife, because Kelvin ran out of words, because you know, men only had 2,000 words I can say a day, and he couldn't say anything to his wife when he came home.
That's probably true, And I've also been doing quite a lot of kind of international stuff as well, which is really nice. So, like, So I'm going to reel these off here because I made a list just so I remember all of them. But in the last 12 months, I've talked in Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, Croatia, Munich in Germany.
There's a bit of a theme
Nice
here.
In France and Vienna.
Oh, right.
So, yeah, in Austria. So a variety of different places there. And it's exciting. I enjoy doing it. And it's kind of similar to the podcast. And it's all good fun and I enjoy it. But the reason we do it is because it's a great way for Site Visibility, the company I work for, to generate business and leads, because people hear us talk in the same way they listen to this podcast and say, oh, I like what Kelvin's talking about there. I'll probably see if he might be able to do some work for us. And it's not always instant as well. Quite often we'll find 2 or 3 years down the line, someone will come to us and say, oh, I heard you talk 2 years ago about this. I didn't need an SEO agency at that point in time, or pay-per-click agency or social media agency. But now I do. And I remembered your name and contacted you there. So being that I know a significant chunk of our audience are practicing internet marketers who would probably benefit from having these type of speaking opportunities, I wanted to run for a couple of ideas about how you can increase your likelihood of getting those type of speaking gigs. And you do quite a lot of speaking as well, Andy, don't you? It must generate quite...
I'm a bit erratic, actually. Yeah. I haven't done speaking for a while, but I do really enjoy it. And one thing I would say is if you can get... I mean, it's just laziness. I've been too busy with other bits and bobs. But if you can get speaking gigs, it is one of the best things you can do. Because it's as you say, it's a bit like the podcast. It tends to build trust.
Yeah.
So you will get phone calls. And the first thing out of the person's mouth is, I heard you speak. And it's invariably months ago.
Yeah.
And you can't even remember the event.
Yeah.
And I wanted to talk to you about...
Yeah.
And it just leads to a new client. So it's very, very powerful.
Mm. So, I mean, the first thing I would say, if you want to try and get more of those opportunities, is try and know what events you'd like to speak at and understand how they select those speakers and how that decision-making process comes about. Now, there's a variety of different methods from one extreme to the other. So, for example, Brighton SEO, the event I organise, there's no formal pitching process for that. There's no link on the website that says if you want to talk to us about this, there's no call for speakers.
You just have to buy Kelvin.
Well, no, you don't buy. No. It's all about who
Back envelope, backhander.
It's all about who I've seen speak, who I think's good, who I'd like to hear more from, or people who I haven't seen speak, but I know that they know what they're talking about. So be it I've bumped into them at the pub and they've had a conversation about it when we're at a other conference, or they've written a couple of really good blog posts, which I could demonstrate that they know what they're talking about. But other conferences are far more formal about it. So they have SMX Advanced, which is an event in London. The way that they work is they have a month-long period where people can suggest sessions and topics. They then decide which of those sessions and topics they want to include, which ones they want to suggest themselves. Then they have a formal process where you have to apply to be on any of those panels. You have to put together a very standardized format. So it's like, okay, here's three paragraphs about who you are, here's a couple of paragraphs about what you'd like to talk about, you know, and all those types of things. And they're very, very different. And there's a variety of different ones in between. Now, what you really need to do is try and make a wish list of the events that you would like to speak at and try and understand how they select them and then tailor your approach accordingly. So for example, if you were desperate to talk at an event that didn't have that formal process, you probably ought to be trying to work out how you can get your content, get your expertise in front of the people who are selecting them. Or if it is one that has a more formal process, you want to be polishing that pitch over a period of time so yours is the best possible one that could go in there. So that's one advice. Second tip, and close to both mine and Andy's heart, is try doing some podcasting, because the process of vocalizing and articulating ideas verbally on a podcast will make you become a better presenter. So you'll be better at it when you do get those gigs. And also, it can be quite a good tool that if you're trying to convince someone, it's like, well, actually, if you're not sure about me, you've never met me before, you don't know me from Adam, here, have a listen to a couple of these podcasts I've recorded, and it'll show them that you know what you're talking about. Yeah. And that you could it's not the same as standing up in a room full of people, but actually in some ways it's harder, because if you're talking just into a microphone, a lot of people would be too scared to do that. So it's a great way of demonstrating your ability to speak in public.
Very powerful to have a corpus of things you can point people at.
Like, yeah, that. And even if you stumble over a few lines like you do in like I do in podcasts all the time, it demonstrates that you can string a sentence together, hopefully. Although sometimes I do wonder that about myself. When
and
I'm
you
doing
can
the
recover
podcast.
From errors.
third tip, is to pitch the session that you want to talk about as well. Too many people, and I've been guilty of this, spend all their time on themselves, why I would be a great speaker for your conference. And there's definitely an element to that, and conference organizers want to have highly credible speakers who will attract an audience, or at least deliver a really good talk when they're there. But actually what they're doing is programming a series of talks or sessions, and the speakers are just the people delivering those. So spend lots of time coming up with an idea of something that would go down well at that event. And that's where your time and attention should be spent on. Is don't just, I've talked on dozens of link building panels, and I've never just pitched, oh, I'll do a talk about link building. I've delved down, okay, this one I'm going to do about 15 ways you can get links from universities. This one I'm going to talk about how to do backlink analysis that's beyond the basics of backlink analysis, and you're diving down into a particular topic that's...
So it's kind of like it's the benefits, you're listing the benefits of your talk, yeah?
Yeah, talk about the session, really, really talk about the session of what you're going to do. And the second level is, don't just talk about what you're going to talk about, write about in the pitch what the benefit of your session is going to be, what the takeaways are going to be, what someone who attends that is going to benefit from that. And also kind of talk a bit about who specifically would appreciate that. So this is a talk for advanced in-house marketers who are struggling with how to actually make link building happen.
Or, presumably, Kelvin, if you've got like a standard talk, because most people have a fairly standard sort of deck of cards, don't they, that they talk from. They probably tweak them a bit for each talk. But presumably it wouldn't hurt to have written down somewhere. You can always mod it slightly.
Well, do
you think that's a bad idea?
I it depends on what you're trying to achieve. And I think if you're talking to a advanced audience, you can't keep reusing the same slides on that. But if you're talking to a more generalist audience, you possibly can. But if you've got a good, in the same way, you've got a good deck that you really believe you can do a good version of that, have a pitch that you use multiple times for that, or have a description of that that you've used. And potentially, if you are pitching a talk that you've done previously, and there's no harm in that because it's like in a different country and no one will have seen it, try and get some of the feedback on that as well. So if you had afterwards, you had a tweet that said, I really enjoyed this talk at you know, cut and paste that testimonial into your pitch as well. Fourth tip, kind of try and concentrate initially on a particular area that you want to talk about, and try and be consistent in that, blog about that, write about that, tweet about that, because that will help you get those gigs. Because in day-to-day life, you will probably work on a variety of different areas, a variety of different approaches, because that's the way that we make a living, is by doing lots of different things. But that can then be difficult for someone to pigeonhole you into which session you should do. And eventually that pigeonholing will become a problem, but initially that's good, right? Because if they know, oh, I've got a session to put together about this particular topic, I know this person blogs about it, they tweet about it, they're really interested in it, they've talked about it at other conferences, they'll also then, you know, put you forward at that point as well. Now, you come to a point eventually where you, you know, and I'm probably there a bit now, where it's like, I've spoken about link building lots and lots of times, I'd love to continue to talk about it, but I want to talk about different things as well. But do that once you've built up a reputation in a particular area. It's easier to build up a reputation in one narrow subset of what it is you do and expand from there than go in with a broad scattergun approach beforehand. So that's good advice there from that point of view. Other thing, get recommended, right? The fact is that when I'm putting together a conference event, I'm looking for people who I know, but I don't know everyone, right? So I will take a recommendation of a friend saying, oh, I heard this person speak at this event and they were really good. Very, you know, that's a great endorsement for a potential speaker. So if you know someone who has spoken at that event before, or who has moderated at that event before, who likes your work, likes when you've heard them speak previously, ask them if they can put in a good word for you, because it, you know, it will help. But don't be contacting people you've never met before, asking them to put in a good word for you, because they won't. It needs to be people who understand, you know, who can vouch for you. And it will just, you know, often these recommendations will happen without your knowing. And that's the best case scenario of doing that as well. Other advice, attend the event. If it's a regular event that happens annually or biannually, go to it beforehand. Go to it the year beforehand. Don't pitch the first time you ever go to an event, because there's differences between events. They look for different things. The audiences are at different levels. They're, you know, some are all about hour-long presentations with one person. Other are much more panel debate type things. And you, if you have never been, you might not appreciate the subtlety of that. And once you've been, you understand that format. You're much better placed then to put together an idea that will work well. Know your level as well. I mean, a practical one for me on this is, I've pitched myself at, I don't know, half a dozen American conferences. Never heard a peep back, because my reputation isn't such in the States that they think that I can do the talks there, or I'm from outside the States, so therefore my talk would be too European in nature, perhaps. And that's just, I'm not at that level. So I shouldn't be pitching those. And that goes for everyone, really. Don't try and be pitching yourself at events that you would not be able to deliver, you know, good material at. But it's also, know your level in terms of, if it's an advanced conference, not pitching a 101 session. But equally, if it's a audience made up of people who are just getting into the sector, don't pitch something that's, you know, so involved that they're all going to fall asleep as well. So kind of know your level in terms of where you fit as a speaker, but know your level in terms of the complexity of the talk that you're delivering. My final one is, over deliver, right? The best way to get speaking gigs is to do a speaking gig and knock it out of the park, right? Because if you do an amazing talk, you'll get an amazing feedback that it'll be much easier to pitch again for that event in the future. If you do an amazing talk and you hear, you know, lots of people say that was an amazing talk, you then get asked to do ones at other events. I watch. If I'm at an event, I'm there kind of taking notes of people who I'd like to see at my future events. If I'm not at an event, I'm looking at Twitter to see who is getting the best feedback. I'm looking at the blog posts that sum up the event afterwards and see who got, you know, lots of people saying that was an amazing talk. You know, and that's how it'll snowball out of that. So don't you know, I know it seems a bit self-evident that if you've got to do a speaking gig, do the best speaking gig you possibly can. But you'd be surprised how many people don't rehearse, don't run through it ahead of time, don't check their slides and have it finalised 3 or 4 days in advance. They're, you know, I've been at events where the, you know, someone's talking at 9 o'clock and they're up at midnight the night before making changes to their presentation. That can't be a good presentation because you're changing it too much at the last minute to deliver it well. So that would be, yeah, some great advice there. But if you want to do speaking gigs, put yourself forward, understand the context of what you're pitching for, and then when you do get the gig, do it as best as you possibly can.
I've got a couple of quick questions for you.
Yeah.
Question number one is, when, as a man who has done many talks and training sessions, how much can you actually explicitly promote your stuff? For example, the website, for example, the podcast. Do you ever do that, or are you more subtle about it? Do you at the end say, and don't forget, you can hear us on the podcast, or don't forget the website is?
The way I always do it is I have a kind of slide at the beginning that says, who am I? Right. And, you know, I make it clear who I'm connected to. So if they do like me, there's no ambiguity as to the company I work
for. Do you show
that
again at the end?
No, but at the end I have a slide that says, if you enjoyed this presentation, I've got a blog here and a podcast there.
Yeah.
And that's relatively subtle. But I've never found that a sales pitch in those kind of environments will work.
No.
Work very well. And one of the most common bits of feedback I've heard about events where there's kind of a very strong connection between who sponsors and who speaks, which a lot of the kind of big trade show, like,
of course, yes,
won't name names, but kind of the free events in London at kind of Olympia that, you know, have those types of ones. The feedback is, yeah, the talk was okay, but it was mostly a sales pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And then that, ironically, doesn't work because they've gone for one thing and got something else, and therefore have a bad impression of your company, which is kind of the complete opposite of what you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, you probably should have been really delivered value for them, even if they were never going to be a customer of yours. And then everyone goes away with a good impression of yours, and some of them are going to get in contact and do that. You need to make clear what, you know, if someone is potentially interested in what it is you do, you need to make it clear about how they can get in contact with you or what, you know, early on in my career, I wasn't explicit enough about who I was and who I worked for, and that, you know, then doesn't do anyone any favours. But if in doubt, make it less salesy. Yes. I would probably say it's a pretty good rule.
And what about, because I often find myself saying to people, you know, if you're going to do talks, get them recorded. Have you had much experience of that? Have you ever been to and done a talk and they say, oh, and we can give you a recording if you want? Or do you think that's a good idea?
I think anything that you can do to assess your performance afterwards can be quite valuable. So we record these podcasts on the fly, but I listen back to them to try and work out, oh, well, that was a good one. Here's a bit I did wrong. Here's a bit I didn't do well.
Mm.
And, you know, like we feature in this podcast, recordings of some of the conferences that we've been involved with. But not every conference will have that. I think if you're starting out and you're kind of really wanting to improve, I think you could do a lot worse than like set up a dictaphone app on the podium where you're talking and listen back to yourself afterwards, or get someone to do an iPhone recording on a video that might not be good enough for publication, but will certainly you could rewatch. It's difficult to watch yourself back or listen to yourself back. You know, you can't help but cringe, but
yeah.
That's what the people in the audience are seeing, and you'll be more critical of yourself. You know, you'll think you're saying I'm an R a lot more than anyone else notices, or you'll pick up on a vocal tic, of which I have dozens, and yes, really frustrate yourself about that. But you know it because you know yourself, whereas they only have heard you talk for 20 minutes. They probably haven't picked up on it.
I remember seeing a video, actually, of one of my talks, and the one thing I just couldn't get out of my head is, do my elbows really stick out that much?
Well, I don't think there's anything you can do about that, though, is there? I mean, bar dramatic surgery, I think you're probably stuck with those.
With elbowectomy. Anyway, better leave it there. So I've been Andy White.
And I've been Kelvin Newman from sitevisibility.com. See, there you're now dropping in
there. Excellent, yes, to be found at Site Visibility. Yes, yeah, and very quickly, what are we talking about next time?
Next episode, we are talking about cognitive biases and sort of tricks that your mind plays on yourself that scientists have noticed that I think marketers would be interested in.
I think we've touched on this earlier, but we're going to get it a bit more in depth.
Yeah, this is real live examples of tricks that your mind plays on you and how you can take advantage.
all coming up on next week's or next time's Internet Marketing. See you soon, folks. Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150, and you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.